All right, everybody take your Bibles and turn to Romans 7. Romans 7. And we can continue talking about the law of God. And tonight we're going to talk about the convicting power of the law. The convicting power of the law. Look, if you will, in chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of, and I can't say that word, so I'm going to say what it means, all form of evil desire. But without the law, sin was dead. We want to talk about the convicting power of the law of God. Verses 1 through 4 says, We have died to the law as far as our acceptance before God. And we discover that the law is really nothing that we can achieve to earn salvation or to be what God wants us to be. So tonight, Paul then addresses what some people would think. Well, if the law doesn't save us, and if the law doesn't sanctify us, then what's the point of it? I mean, why did God give it? And so he knows what they're going to say, so he starts in verse 7, What shall we say then? Is the law sin? That's God forbid, Paul said. You shouldn't even think of anything like that. There's nothing wrong with the law. He will later on tell you that the law is perfect and holy because it reflects the character of God. The problem is not the law. The problem is us. We're the sinners. So there's nothing wrong with the law. A man may be arrested for committing a crime and says that there's just something wrong with the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is him. He committed the crime. And the law just simply pointed that out. And so the law is good and just and holy, but God uses the law in a particular way. In verses 7 and 8, I want to look at three things that the law works to convict of. And let me outline, and let me just say this way, as I understand God's law. God gave the law to convict of sin so that people would realize they need a Savior. God gave the law for us as Christians to convict us of sin so that we would realize we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Christian life is not us. The Christian life is always what God does through Christ to make us acceptable and through the Holy Spirit to enable us to live for Him. We're still responsible to obey the law, but the difference is we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit because we can't do it within ourselves. So why the law? Well, Paul gives you three reasons. First of all, he says, What shall we say then is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. The first thing the law does is it defines what sin is. Paul says, and notice he uses the personal. He begins to be personal. He says, I had not known sin except or but by the law of God. I wouldn't have known that there was any sin if it hadn't been for the law of God. It's like Jesus comes and says, I'm here to save the world. You're all sinners. And most of the world laughs and says, What are you talking about? We're good people. We have our own religion. We're okay. And Paul says the first thing that the law does is it defines sin. I mean, look at the way people are living today. And if I were to stand up and say to folks, that is sin, first of all, I'd probably run out of town. But secondly, they would go, what are you talking about? What's wrong with this? And so every form of thing is acceptable. Well, the only way that God could reveal that people were committing sin is by putting up the divine standard of God's law. That as people realize what that, God, the Holy Spirit, would then use to let them know what sin is. I don't know what stealing is. I don't know what pride is. I don't know what selfishness is. I don't know what is lust. I don't know what is is murder. I don't know what all these things are unless the law comes and says, this you shall not do. And God gave the law to first define sin so that people would realize, oh, we've sinned. Now read it again. He says, no, I had not known sin but by the law. I wouldn't be able to recognize sin if it were not for God's standard. So the first thing the law does is define sin. You go out there and ask folks, well, what is sin? Well, first of all, they probably don't even know what the word means. But if you give them some commands and say, do you measure up to this? Remember the tape we watched? And he sort of gave them some commands, and they realized, yeah, I do wrong there. Well, God gave it to say, listen, here are the boundaries, so you'll first understand what sin is. Now, he goes further. He then says, secondly, for I had not known lust, or evil desire, or evil could be used as covetousness, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, Paul uses the 10th commandment, and he's not using this commandment to be exhaustive. He's using it as an example, and he picks the one commandment that really, in that context, shows what's in the heart. And so Paul says, I would not have known that I had evil desire. I would not have known that I had covetousness in my heart, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So the second thing, not only does sin define, I mean, not only does law define what sin is. You can't know what sin is until you know what God's standard is. But secondly, then the law exposes sin in my own heart. That's why God gave it. That's one of the purposes. Notice what he said. For I had not known lust or evil desire. Where is that? That's inside. I wouldn't have known that I was covetous. I wouldn't have known that I had evil desire, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So the second thing the law is, it first defines sin and says, okay, this is sin. But secondly, Paul says, I wouldn't have seen it in my own heart if it hadn't been for the law. That's the second thing, sin. The law exposes sin in your heart. Paul says, you know what? I was religious above religious. I did all the rules, but somewhere in the process, the law showed him, but yet I'm covetousness. And that's what the law does. It exposes sin. First, in the unsaved person, so one, they'll recognize what sin is, but then they need to know that they have sin in their hearts. I mean, why are you going to come to Christ if you don't need him? And so God gave the law. God gave standards so that you realize, ah, I've got sin in me. Oh, I see everybody else has got sin, but I've got sin in me. Everyone that comes to Christ, somewhere along the way, has to have a conviction or a convincing in their heart that they have sin in their heart, that something's not right. And then the good news of the gospel is, oh, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way of salvation. Well, for us as Christians, how does God work so that we will be filled with the Holy Spirit? He works so that the law exposes covetousness, lust, selfishness, pride, envy, jealousy, anger, bitterness, gossip, and on we could go. Lack of faith in God, complaining, on and we go. How can the Holy Spirit work to produce in us the law and God's life if we don't see the sinful attitudes in our heart? So that's why God gave the law. Paul says it. But for I had not known lust or covetousness or evil desire except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. You know, I've told you that every so often what happens is God convicts me and sort of pulls a plug and then takes me a little deeper in my relationship with him. And what happens is I begin to see the sin in my heart. Now, it was there all along, and it wasn't that I'm hiding something. It's not that, I'm some murderer. But the truth is, as I learn God's word and as I study God's word and as his standard is put forth, what happens? I go, whoa, Lord, I see the sin in my own heart. So why? I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But that's not all. Notice then what he says in verse 8. Sin, first, the law defines sin. Secondly, the law shows the sin in my heart. But that's not enough. So verse 8 said, but sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of, whatever that word says, anybody can pronounce it, let me know, evil desire. For without the law, sin is dead. Let me take, first of all, but sin. Sin. You remember how we define the word sin? The word sin is used in three basic ways. He says in Romans 3 that all are under sin. What does that mean? All are legally guilty. Everybody in all the world will stand before God, and whether they're considered the worst of the lot or the best of the lot, there will only be one judgment: guilty. All are guilty. And Christ takes that guilty verdict. 1 John and James says, whosoever committeth sin. So the second act is the act of sin. To get angry, to be jealous, to be envious, to strike out, to gossip, to hold bitterness. Those is committing the act of sin. So sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is violating God's law. So that's the second use of the word sin. But there's a third use, and that is found here. But sin, which is the flesh. There is a power that is not legal guilt. There is a power that's not the act of sin, but there's a power working in my fallen humanity, which is the flesh. But sin. Paul will say later on when he talks about this, he will talk even more about this sin which dwelleth in me. He's not talking about the act of sin. He's not talking about the legal guilt. He's talking about the flesh. My fallen humanity, not the body, but my fallen humanity, the flesh. The flesh. Let me tell you the third thing. The law defines sin. Well, preacher, I didn't think there was anything wrong with living together. Well, the law will come along and say, thou shalt not commit adultery, to define the boundaries of sin. Secondly, the law must then convince that there's sin in the heart. I personally have sin. But then the law goes deeper to expose the real culprit, the flesh. Notice what he says. But sin, that is the flesh, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of evil desire. Now, he's not saying the law caused me to sin, but what he's saying, the flesh and the sinful, to take occasion is the word which means to have a setting, a beachhead, a place of operations from which I will launch my attack. And so what he's saying is this: the flesh is so evil and so rebellious that it will take the law of God and use it as an occasion to express all kinds of evil desires. Remember what we said Sunday night? We are by nature rebellious. It isn't the law that makes me sin. It's the sin, but the law bumps up against and says, oh, I'm going to rebel. And so that's what he means. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment. That is, the flesh is so wicked that it will use the commandment to then do even more evil. Now, what do I mean? Well, remember the Garden of Eden? There's just something about the flesh loving forbidden fruit. Just loves forbidden fruit. That's what the flesh wants. Here's a command. You need all these treats, but don't eat from this one. It's just something that says, I want the forbidden. I want that which I shouldn't have. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. And sinful humanity, remember what we said, the law of God can restrain sin by giving penalties and by showing people the right way, but it never will ultimately change the problem in the heart, and that's the flesh. The law will not transform the flesh. And the flesh is so wicked that it will use the occasion of the commandment to notice what he says. It wrought in me all manner of evil desire. Then he says, for without the law, sin was dead. Now, the little hard to understand what he means for without the law, sin was dead. But let me try to explain it this way. He does not mean that sin does not exist. Sin's present. But when there is no law, people don't know it. That sin is dead. They don't know their sin. They don't know there's anything in the heart. It's not that sin is not present. You know, it's like a person that does something wrong and then someone comes along and says, you know, you're not supposed to do that. Oh, I didn't. That's wrong. That's sinful. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, prior to that, it wasn't that the sin was not alive. It's just it was dead in the sense they didn't know what it was until the law pointed it out. And the law exposes the flesh and its stubbornness. Now, let me try to illustrate this. God is not interested in making your flesh better. He's not interested in making you a better person in your flesh. He is not interested in the flesh. He is interested in the flesh being put to death so that the life of the Spirit will live forth. But you can't see that until you see the flesh. It's like if at my house I went and I started getting sick. And they come and tell me, well, preacher, you've got some poison in the water. I do, yeah. And, you know, you're only supposed to drink so much of this. And, you know, we got a little calculator that'll tell you how much poison's in. So if there's too much poison in, don't drink it today. Okay. Well, that makes some sense, but that kind of be silly. Wouldn't it be best to find out where the poison came from and cut it off at the source? Well, God just doesn't want to expose, I sinned. Lord, forgive me. Help me not sin again. No, God's interested in exposing the culprit, the flesh, so that you will realize there is, what did Paul say? There is nothing good in my flesh. Micah was telling me in doing nursing and in anything, we were talking about this week, different professions, and there's a certain responsibility in a profession to not do certain things. There's a professionalism, you know. Nursing people are not to use profanity. Now, let me ask you a question. You may go to the hospital and the nurses, it's professional. You know, they're not. It's just something that's part of their profession. They're not to be using profanity while they're taking care of you. Do you think all those nurses go home and never use profanity? I got news for you. They do. Anybody can dress up the flesh. Anybody can dress it up to look good. I can dress it up to look good because I ain't going to kill anybody tonight and I ain't going to go running around and I'm not going to go get drunk. But that don't mean there is not a stubborn, fleshly heart that the only way I'm going to live the Christian life is by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And so he says that verse 8 is trying to tell us that the third level is God must expose the flesh. The flesh. You can't doctor it up. You can't make it look good. If God himself were to walk in tonight and all of us would leave and go into a room with just him and stand in his presence, I might look good tonight, but boy, he would expose my fleshliness. Not that it's fleshly, but he would expose that apart from the Holy Spirit, there's nothing good going to come out of my life. It is the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience. And so sin, what is that? The flesh uses the commandment to even rebel more. And without the law, the awareness of this sin is dead. You can't see it. I don't know if any of you have ever seen your flesh. But I'm cruising along sometime, and you know, I've told you, when sometimes I go a little deeper, what I realize is, all of a sudden, I'm confronted, and what I thought was holy turned out to be just me doing good things in my flesh. And God has to buckle my knees, and I have to learn to get back on my knees and say, Lord, as Paul said, there is nothing good in my flesh. The only thing that it's produced is the life of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, if the law never does that, not many people get very deep in the Lord. Can I tell you something? You might already know this. Do you know that the world is wacko? You know they work at what? I mean, we got our government promoting things that we just go, you don't know. That's because they've rejected the law. Did you know that a lot of, quote, Christians are wacko? I don't know if you knew that, but I'm telling you, Christians are just wacko. You don't find many just normal, God-fearing, godly, spirit-filled Christians. What you find is a lot of, I don't know what all you find, just find craziness. And that's because they don't understand how God's word works. He doesn't convict you so that you can dress your flesh up better. He convicts you so you can say, ah, boy, I'm so selfish. I'm so proud of my righteousness. Lord, that's my flesh. I reject it. And I ask you to produce in me humility and grace and kindness. That's the only way you can live the Christian life. That's the only way anybody can get saved, is by the sin being exposed in the heart. Everybody remember the Andy Griffith Show, where Barney bought him not a brand new car. He bought a car from Mrs. Lesh. It was a fancy car from Miss Lesh. And she came down, she was a crook. But she came down and talked to Barney and said, you know, I hate to sell this car, but my dear mister, and she found out his name was Barney, Bernard, he said, that's my name. And she conned him up, you know, and so I just don't know. I got so many bills. I don't know what to do and how to pay for it and all this. And she overheard him saying that Barney had $300. Said, Mr. Fife, it'll come to a total of $298.70. Here, take the $300. And the car looked good. It looked really good. But it was a sorry car. Because by the time it was over with, when Romer took it to the mechanic to be looked after, everything was wrong with that car. Had sawdust in the transmission to make the gears run beautiful, and the car broke down, if you remember the story. Well, the problem was, there was something wrong with the car. And it looked good, but you had to take it to the mechanic to find out. Well, everybody out here, we can all look good. But I'm going to tell you, there is nothing good in my fallen humanity. And if God's Holy Spirit were to leave me, which he will not, but if he were, I don't know if I would do, quote, bad, but I wouldn't have near the joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and wonderfulness. Do you know the Spirit of God wants to produce a quality of life that's good? But he has to expose sin, and he has to expose the culprit, the flesh. Because otherwise, I will never know an abundant life. I will never know exciting life. I will never know service for God, because I will live within my fallen humanity. Listen, the law exposes and defines sin. What's sin? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not murder, and God intended deeper. What about sin in my heart? Oh, my. I discovered sin in my heart. Thirdly, I then discovered that sin, the flesh, is so stubborn it will use a commandment to rebel against God. Lord, there is nothing good in my flesh. Do you know the secret of people who walk with God is they've learned to trust in the power of God, not in the power of their flesh. They've learned to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for your word, and help us, Lord, to just keep studying, and we know we never exhaust it, but we thank you, Lord, that we are not what we ought to be, but that's why you came and brought Jesus Christ to save us. And we are saved. We're part of your family. You never turned against us. We're your children. And boy, how you must love us because we're in your Son, Jesus Christ. But Lord, you know our fallenness. You know our fleshliness. You know that we are prone to sinfulness. Not necessarily bad stuff, but we're prone to attitudes that are not reflective of Christ-likeness. But that's okay, Lord. You don't lose any sleep over it because you know we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you gave the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you convict us of sin and of our flesh, not so that we'll mope around and feel dejected and feel bad, but just that we will immediately confess, depend on the Holy Spirit, and know you're with us every step of the way. Thank you, Lord. We don't wallow in our sinfulness. We rejoice in the power that you give us. And we learn to be on our knees quite often. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.